You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Not only the William Hill Golf Podcast, the final William Hill Golf Podcast of the year. Good event to finish off with, though. We've got the Hero World Challenge and I got two events on the European Tour, neither of which are in Europe. We've got the Alfred Dunhill Championship from South Africa and the Australian PGA Championship from Australia, Queensland, at that event this week. Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall to preview these tournaments. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting on my right, Mike Grenham.
Good afternoon, David.
And the man on my left, Dave Tindall.
Hello. Are we going to talk about China first?
We are going to talk about China first. World Cup of Golf last week. Denmark won the event.
But
Mike, good pick with the Chinese pair of Hao Tonglei and Ashun Wu, who grabbed a full place and played well throughout the week.
They did. They were in the mix all the way, weren't they, Dave, with a decent first round and kept battling all the way through to round four. Had a bit of a blip. I think it was in the third round when they went double bogey bogey at the start of a round. But, yeah, got a full place, and I was pleased with that because they were a little bit of a...
66-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were a decent price. In what was a limited field, a bit like the World Challenge this week, you've obviously got a lot less players or a lot less teams to beat when there's only... I'm trying to remember, was it 28?
28
teams?
Yeah.
So, and the guys were in good form this year. Both had some decent form, so China obviously emerging, so it's good.
And Denmark winning the event, Dave. Torbjørn Olesen playing alongside Søren Kjeldsen. Søren Kjeldsen, who's enjoying an Indian summer as far as his career is concerned. And whenever Torbjørn Olesen's in contention,
he wins. Yeah, and he's won in Australia before as well. I mean, we did mention most of the teams, didn't we? But we did mention them, didn't we?
Someone pointed out on Twitter quite rightly. We did, but we gave Denmark a very good mention, I thought, when I listened back.
One of our better mentions.
They weren't far off the list for a couple of us, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Shame China didn't win, but there you go.
We can't have everything, can we?
You can, yeah, yeah.
Okay, you want everything.
Yeah, I want everything.
Let's get stuck into this week, and hopefully we'll have a winner to sign off this year. And we'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa, and Charles Schwartzel is the 3-1 favourite. Brandon Grace is 6-1. George Kutsaya and Gregory Bordy, both 20s. Richard Stearney, 22s. Brandon Stone is 25-1. Thomas Akin, 25-1. Benjamin Hebert is 40-1, along with Dylan Fratelli, and it's 50-1 and bigger the rest. This is one of two events on the European Tour this week, and this is the one we're going to look at in more detail, this event at Leopard Creek, and it's hosted the championship since 2004, this venue. And Schwartzel has won this championship at this course four times and has actually finished first or second eight times in his 11 appearances at Leopard Creek. And this course, Dave, is known as much for the wildlife as the design here. It's a par 72 measuring just under 7,000 yards. And even though there is danger lurking if you wander off the beaten path, scoring is pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get eaten, are you, by by an elk or something? Or I think there's a hippopotamus on that gets a bit of TV coverage as well.
Yeah.
So it is one of these ones where you look at it and think, oh, I should go to South Africa, shouldn't I? It's lovely. But yeah, Charles Schwartz, a 3-1 favourite. I think I read he's 122 under par there. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievably scoring around this venue.
And he's come third at the DP World Tour Championship. So yeah, he's definitely a tough one to beat this week, although I have got a pick in the event.
South Africans have won the last five editions, with Brandon Grace and Garth Mulroy successful in the years in which Schwartzel hasn't won. They may be used to playing on that Kikuyu and putting on the bent grass greens as well, and it does give them an edge, obviously, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of European winners before that, wasn't there? And you think maybe there isn't a home advantage, but I think maybe just the quality of South African players has got stronger. And we saw last year people like Brandon Stone and Xander Lombard did really well in these early season events, so I've got a young South African in mind.
Okay, keep your powder dry, Mr. Tindall, as regards that young South African. Mike, do you have any thoughts on this championship? Any selections here?
Yeah, I've got one pick. 22-1 shot.
Okay, go on, lead us off then here.
Well, Richard Stearn is my pick, Dave. He won here in 2008. He's got a few good finishes since that time, 2009, the year after his fourth. Again, not unusually, he's a South African who plays very well in South Africa. With of his last four wins on tour have all been in his homeland out of six. So he's due a win on tour. It's been 3 years, I think, since he's had a win. A very good player, good greens and regulation player, which is what will be needed here. Has been in decent form in the main in the last few months. He was second at the Alfred Dunhill Links tournament by the same sponsors, but obviously in a different part of the world. And ninth in the British Masters before playing moderately, just okay in the HSBC and the Turkish events. 20th in the Ed Bank and then 30th in the end of tour event in Dubai. So solid player rather than extraordinarily good. He was playing very well in the middle of the summer when he played well in the Irish, Scottish and French Opens. But I just think he's a good player in South Africa, likes the course a lot. 7th 4 years ago, 11th 2 years ago. In fact, last year he had a third round of 77, which kind of blotted his copybook. If it wasn't for that, he might well have been around about a place again. I don't know what happened to him there. But yeah, Richard Stearney, solid South African pro. This isn't a deep field. Take Schwartzel out of it. Grace isn't playing that great. And there's not a lot below the top players here. I think Stearney really should be looking to get a place minimum in this event. So yeah, I like his each way prospects at 22s.
22-1, Richard Stearney. Dave, who are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going back to 40-1 for Dylan Fratelli.
Okay.
He's one of the. There's a few South Africans who've just got their European tour cards at Q School, and he was one of them. So that caught my eye, and then I remembered him in this tournament last year. He played really well for 3 days. I think he went out in the penultimate group in the final round. Didn't quite get going. Ended up tied 11th. But still a good knock. And before the year before, he'd finished tied 22nd. So sort of progressive form at this course. And then since winning his European Tour card, he's played on the Sunshine Tour, the local South African Tour, in the Cape Town Open. He was top 10 in that last week. So I just think he's got a little bit of everything. And as I said earlier, the young South Africans really did make their mark in these events. It's kind of a free go, isn't it, almost, at winning a European Tour card. You know, in what I've said to Mike off air, is kind of, it's a glorified Sunshine Tour event, isn't it, this, really?
Yeah.
There's a few sort of French fellas in there and the odd Spaniard, but, you know, it's pretty much a local affair, and so I think he can get in the mix at 40s.
40-1, Dylan Fratelli goes with 22-1, Richard Stearney. I must admit, at this point, this is where, this will be part of my each-way double for the week. I have had an each-way double. I've put Charles Schwartzel in it at 3-1. We talked about his record here, which is incredible. And that one about him only having finished outside the top two three times in 11 appearances, yeah, at Leopard Creek is sensational. And on the back of that, third place finish in the DP World Tour Championship as well. Obviously in good form. And the thing about Schwartzel is he's never been prolific on US soil, but he has won eight times in South Africa on the European Tour.
He's not been prolific on any soil other than South Africa.
Well, precisely, yeah, but it has happened in South Africa for him, hasn't it? Mm. And I think it's not my kind of price as a win single, 3-1, but when I'm shoving in an each-way double with another player in Australia,
just one, does he?
A little bit more attractive.
Not tempted to do the full
combo of all three, yeah, events. Not this week.
I think I am.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. I think I'll mention that later.
Any others you want to mention before we move on to the Tiger Woods tournament?
George Kitsey has been in decent form, but doesn't play the course as well as Stearney, so I'm happy with my pick.
Okay, Hero World Challenge then, the other big event this week, undoubtedly. 18 players for Tiger's tournament in the Bahamas, and Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth are 11-2 joint favourites. Hideki Matsuyama is 8-1. Brooks Koepka in the market at 10-1. Henrik Stenson is 10-1. Patrick Reed is 12s. It's 16-1 Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson 18-1, and 20-1 and bigger the rest. And he's back. Tiger Woods is back. Arguably the greatest ever returns after 15 months away from the game. And the reports, Mike, as they often do, suggest his game is in good order ahead of this eagerly awaited reappearance. And his long game's in good order anyway. I don't think anyone's seen him chip or putt yet.
What, nobody?
Well, I've not heard any reports. Everyone has, all the reporters out there in the Bahamas seem to suggest when they've seen him in practice sessions, obviously on the range, he's hitting the ball brilliantly and he's got, in inverted commas, all the shots, but no one's talked about his chipping.
No. It's a bit of a surprise to see that there are five players a bigger price than him, don't you think? Yeah, I would have expected him in this field to be the rank outsider.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I think we've ducked him a little bit, right. Which I think you'd be trying to... Would you be trying to lay Tiger Woods as a compiler this week, Mark,
I think so. I mean, look, I'd love to see him come back because he is the greatest player of all time. I think just edging out Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, it'd be good for the game if he could get anywhere near the heights that he was formerly at. I can't quite see him doing it first week back, though. I know he was a... He had kind of a reputation for doing the unusual and the unique, didn't he? But not for quite a long time. So the jury's still got to be out, hasn't it? Dave has always said he's not coming back. I'd quite enjoy it if he did.
Well, even though I've always said that, I'd enjoy it if he did because he was the first golfer of real significance as far as my younger days were concerned. Yes. When I was getting into the game, he was the man, Tiger Woods, and... since he's played competitively 15 months ago, he's undergone two back surgeries to go along with the four knee surgeries he's had in his career as well. So I'm not sure. A lot of people have been saying it's a mental thing with Tiger, but Dave, it's got to be a physical thing as well, surely.
Yeah, he thinks so. I know. Yeah, he's swinging a golf club. He's not running like a sort of running back at NFL or something, are you? So
Craig Stadler can do it. With his physique.
Yeah, there's some...
Well, when he mentioned hippopotamus, I was ready for a derogatory remark there.
Yeah, there are a few sort of rotunda players on tour, aren't they, who sort of get by. I know it's a lot with Tiger is a kind of like the athleticism and the kind of dynamism in his swing and everything, but, you know, then the head comes into play and you can use other aspects. So, but then again, I'd be a bit miffed if it was Brant Snedeker or Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker's the most recent major winner and he's ranked less likely to win... And Tiger and Jimmy Walker's just finished second in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Snedeker won a, I know it was only the Fiji International, but it was a European Tour event in windy conditions only in October. I don't know. I'm with Mike. I think I would lay Tiger this week. I'd be happy to lay him.
I'd have anticipated him being the outsider at this time.
I think even if he finished in the top half of the field, I think that'd be a brilliant effort by him. And even in the top two-thirds, just sort of not last almost. And they'd say, oh, it's part of the process and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's expecting to come back and win, is he?
No, I don't think he is. All. I think he's...
I know he would have said that when he was like 20, but not now.
You never know with him, though, do you? He's not short of confidence.
Yeah, but he's not delusional, surely. He's not thinking he's winning this,
he's
is he?
He's not delusional, surely. I'm going to question a little bit.
He did want to become a Navy SEAL. Tiger Woods.
He did. I do sometimes think he might be a little bit, you know.
Possibly that's part of the package, isn't it? Yeah.
That whole Navy SEAL thing being the exact example. Mm. But it'll be really fascinating to see, and let's hope he plays. Like you've just said, Dave, let's hope he does himself credit and then he'll start rebuilding it. Just make the game more interesting.
It'd be awful if he's like 10 shots adrift in last, wouldn't it? It would.
And it's the one thing we've not seen, Mike, that clash of the different generations with the. With the greats of this generation, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, going head-to-head with Jordan Spieth, with Tiger Woods. We've not really seen that, have we?
Well, apart from Phil Mickelson, he's obviously still knocking about pretty well, isn't he? But Tiger is at another level, I guess, is what you're saying, or was at another level. So it'd be fascinating, wouldn't it, if he could come back and we could have, say, him and Phil and the newbies all going at it next year.
That would be brilliant.
There was a bit of Tiger-Rory about for a year, wasn't there, when you thought... You know, passing of the old and the new, but then Tiger went injured. I think the biggest surprise with Tiger, he's not played for 15 months, and the tournament he last played, he came tied 10th.
Yeah.
That's something, really? He did that well. I thought he would have missed the cut or something.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. As for the event itself, it's played at Albany Golf Course in the Bahamas. It hosted for the first time last year. It's an Ernie Els design. Par 72, measuring 7,400 yards. There are five par threes and five par fives on the layout, though, only the eight par fours. And the golf course is framed by sand dunes, wasteland areas, if you will. And last year, scoring was very low, with Bubba Watson prevailing and shooting 25 under par in the process to win. He was one of four players to shoot at least 20 under on the week. And the wind, it looks like the wind, even though we've only had one event here, is the course's main defence. And it might be a little bit more gusty this year than it was last, but having looked at the forecast, it doesn't look that bad.
No.
I only saw winds getting up to 10, 11 miles an hour on Saturday and Sunday. It looked pretty benign the rest of the time. So I think we'll have another low-scoring event here, Mike. Is there anything you looked at from last year and thought pinpointed?
I looked at the guy who won it last year and think he's going to win it again.
Bubba Watson?
Yeah.
Okay, 18-1.
Yeah, I just think Bubba's one of those guys who hits it a mile, likes the same courses, doesn't it? One thing I've learned about Bubba is that he kind of plays well at the same places, doesn't he?
In this one, though, he was like peak Bubba. He said, I don't like this course, and then he shot 25 under. Well, I don't understand the bloke, but
no one understands Bubba, let alone.
But I think it pays to ignore what he says and just look what he does.
God, most definitely, yeah, absolutely, Dave. And he's 18-1 in a 18-runner field, so he's my pick. There's no more science to it than that. In truth, he shot 25 under last year, 4 rounds in the 60s. Needs to putt a little bit better to get to 25 under. His putting hasn't been exceptional in the last, I guess you could say, almost 12 months now. But five par fives, tick. Won here last year, tick. Needs another win. Hasn't won for a while. He'll be motivated, I guess. Mm. So as much as you can ever try and second guess Bubba, at 18s, I just think in such a short field, he's a good each way bet.
Very good. Dave, have you got a selection?
Yeah, I've got the Manui partners actually in round one. Ricky Fowler.
Okay, yeah.
They're the first two out, I think, at 11:10 local time in the Bahamas, which is 5 hours behind the UK listeners.
Which is good for us, isn't it?
Yes.
I suppose, because we'll get to see all this event and get to see Tiger for
it's
all.
It's quite
four
near Florida,
rounds.
The Bahamas, isn't it?
Yeah. Ricky Fowler. I suppose against Mike, I'm thinking I don't want players who might be a bit rusty. I'd rather have someone who's up and running at the minute. So Fowler, obviously, he's come from Australia. Which could be perceived as a negative, but I remember a few years ago, Jordan Spieth won the Australian Open. Came, was it Hawaii then or was it California?
I think it was Florida.
Which might have just said it's nearby. You can overplay that. These young players, they just sort of get used to it, don't they? They can sleep in their private jet. So Ricky Fowler, 16-1, played really well on this course last year. Shot, I think, 64, 65 on the weekend. 15 under on the weekend he was. So I think he's primed to do well. Maybe didn't have his absolute best stuff in Australia, but they were still second. Top six in the HSBC as well in China, Ricky Fowler. Now, you say the forecast is kind of, maybe it doesn't get windy, but if it does, that only helps him. So yeah. I'll be hoping for a bit of wind. But I think there's enough in that course that... Well, we know it plays well already in a bit of wind, which I think there might be a fair bit of wind. I think 16-1 is good because you could argue with Mike's 18-1 on Bubba. You see those prices in full field events, don't you?
Correct, yeah.
On those two. Mm. Say like Bubba goes off like 14s in the sort of farmer's insurance and stuff. So Ricky Fowler, that's a sort of Ricky Fowler price, and he's only got 17 rivals. A lot of these... You think, what's their motivation? Even Dustin Johnson, can he be bothered this week? I mean, he played terrible in this event last year. Some of them, I don't know. Maybe they're just a slight case of the wheelbarrow out, or they're not. Justin Rose has not played for 7 weeks. I don't think it's a full-on everyone trying
he's
field.
I'm led to believe he's got a property on the course, hasn't he, Justin Rose?
It's his local course, isn't it?
Yeah. But he played dreadfully in this last year. He just caught my eye as being someone who could go better than he did last year.
It's funny I saw that because he... opened up with three awful rounds and shot 63 in the last round, didn't he?
62, I think it was
in the last round. Yeah.
Bubba shot 63 for a course record, and then Justin Rose shot 62 in the final round. He only went up three places with a 62. how easy it was playing, but B, how far back he was, I guess.
There was a Golf Digest report sort of they'd followed Tiger, but they actually said Rose looked rustier than Tiger.
Really?
So,
well, that's interesting.
Maybe you read anything into that.
I've gone with I'm hoping a man in red's going to win on Sunday, but not Tiger. I'm going Patrick Reed as my selection here at 12-1. He was 14s yesterday, and it's not an amazing price at 12-1, but definitely worth a nibble as far as I'm concerned. It did tempt me in. He was actually number one on the PGA Tour in par five scoring last year, Patrick Reed. So the par fives, the five of them on this layout, plays to his strengths. He is a Texan, so if the wind does blow, he can cope. And short game was important here last year, and that's definitely where he excels. I think a big factor with Reid, though, and one that's led me to this bet, is he loves the thrill of the big occasion, Patrick Reid. We've seen it in the Ryder Cup in the past, and I don't think it gets much bigger than playing alongside Tiger Woods on his return to action. He's a showman, isn't he? I think there's nothing he'd like more than playing alongside Tiger Woods and showing him up, in all honesty, putting a really low number out there. And I think he'll relish this. And even though his form hasn't been fantastic with two down-the-field performances in the CIMB Classic and the WGC HSBC Championship, he was second in this event last year. And I don't think it's a coincidence either that the year before in this Hero World Challenge Tigers event, he was tied third. And he won the Hyundai Tournament of Champions on a course where wind can be a factor, recording 21 under par, and the Humana, a recent win for him with a total of 28 under par. So I think low-scoring events play to Reid's strengths, even though he has won when events have been high-scoring as well. 12-1, I think's fair on Patrick Reid, so I'll play him a point each way in this 18-runner field, and he's my only selection.
Very good.
So that's it. Reid, Fowler, and
Bubba Watson.
Reid, Fowler, and Bubba Watson, of course. Are our three picks.
I've got one other, but it's part of the kind of obvious treble this week.
Okay.
The very obvious treble this week.
With Adam Scott.
Scott in Australia. Schwartzel in South Africa, and Jordan Spieth here. Very obvious, but this is probably classed as silly season, the other two are European Tour events, but the amount of times the favourites go in this time of year, I think, is very high compared to other times of the year.
Would you have had Jordan Spieth as favourite over Dustin Johnson this week, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not Mike. Yeah, we both would, yes.
But, yeah, I think I would as well. You mentioned earlier on in the podcast that Jordan Spieth, having won the Australian Open, came back and won this event a couple of
years ago by 10
from Henrik Stenson. So I think Jordan Spieth will be primed. And I think this is a golf course that plays to his strengths as well.
Yeah.
Short game.
Scrambles obviously very well. Hit some good clutch shots last week when he won the Australian Open. So you're just pricing that treble, Dave, it comes to.
Yeah,
can't be that, can it? Is that big?
Yeah, 111-1 it is, the treble. Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott, and Charles Schwartzel, if you're playing each way.
Yeah, I think I will play that each way.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the...
Are you taking the Spieth element out?
Yeah, I'm taking the Spieth element out, and I like the each-way double this week on Adam Scott and Charles Schwartzel at 16.33-1. We've mentioned Schwartzel in South Africa. The reason I like Scott is his record in Australia, basically, and record in Queensland as well. We'll come on to Scott in a second. Are there any others you want to mention in the Hero World Challenge just before we move
on? I'd happily do Stirney and Watson in an each-way double at prices that are not ridiculous like the ones you lot are talking about.
I thought Mike would have gone for Spieth, because if you rewind to the very first podcast of the year, Mike went for Spieth in the Hyundai in a limited field. Coastal track, won it by 8. Was it the same price? Was it a similar price?
It was a very similar price.
It was definitely where you were getting something back on each way, wasn't
it? That's right, yeah.
Like a sort of bet to nothing.
He has got a big
He hacked up, didn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Your each way double, by the way, 436-1, Richard Stirney and Bubba Watson.
I'm not saying they'll both win, but they could both be placed easily, couldn't they? Yeah. And they could both win in what is a limited field in terms of number of players and a limited field in terms of a number of decent players. They both have a chance.
Let's just have a quick word on the Australian PGA Championship. It is this the other event this week. Adam Scott, 130 favourite. Cameron Smith, 14s. Mark Leishman, 14s. Rod Pampling, 20s. And it's 25s bar. I've nailed my colours to the mast already here and said that the second part of the double will be Adam Scott, who has enjoyed success at Royal Pines a couple of times, actually. The 2 years he played this event, in 2013 and 2014, won the event in 2013 and finished tied for second a couple of years ago. He's a bit of a monster on these Australian sandbelt courses, Scott. That's my each way double anyway, Scott and Schwartzel this week.
Yeah, I agree with Scott, obviously. The only other one of interest to me in that field is Poulter at 33-1.
Right, okay.
Because he does play Australian courses very, very well. They really do suit him, all the sandbelt courses. I know he's sort of coming back after a lengthy layoff, but Poulter normally in that field would be the clear second favourite, wouldn't he, in his 33s?
Yep. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, fair point. Ian Poulter, 33-1. Let's wrap then, chaps. Final podcast of the year.
We're going to do a wrap to finish off.
We'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Your selection, Dave?
Yes, I'm going for Dylan Fratelli at 40-1, a point each way.
And Mike?
Richard Sterney at 22s.
A point each way?
No, I'll have a point winning half a point place. And the same on Bubba Watson in the American event in the Bahamas. And a half a point each way, double the pair.
436-1, yeah. That'd be a way to sign up.
Now I've said it, I might as well.
18-1, Bubba Watson. I'm going with Patrick Reed, a point each way at 12-1. In the Hero World Challenge, Dave?
Yeah, I'll go for a point each way, Ricky Fowler at 16, and then I'll do that each way.
Treble
on the three events. So that's Spieth, Adam Scott, Charles Schwartzel, each way treble, 111-1.
Yes.
It's one of those ones, if it wins, you would think, well, that's not that kind of bizarre, is it, that it's happened and it's 111-1?
I'm going with the each way double, Charles Schwartzel and Adam Scott at 16-1.
Doubles and trebles week. Mad, haven't we?
Doubles and trebles mad is the last podcast.
To end the podcast,
year. Thank you, everyone, for your company on this podcast throughout the year. Thank you, Mr. Grenham.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in the new year for the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Remember to follow us all on Twitter. It's at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. We'll be back for the first event of the PGA Tour season when it starts proper next year. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Check us out on iTunes as well. And myself, Dave and Mike will be back in the new year. If you're having a bet this week, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.